Welcome to Tracks Cultures, the podcast dedicated to unraveling the intricacies of transitions across cultures. Whether you're a globetrotter embracing new cultures, an expat transitioning to life in a foreign land, or a supportive friend or family member, this podcast is your companion on the expedition through the exciting and sometimes challenging realms of culture shock and transition. I'm your host, Mike Piccinato, and I've been on my own cross-cultural journey, navigating the intricacies of culture shock, language barriers, and the joys and frustrations that come with embracing a new way of life. Much of what we do in this series will be framed by the book Transitions Across Cultures by Dr. Stephen W. Jones. Stephen and his wife, Jenny Jones, will be frequent guests on the show as we accompany them on their own cross-cultural journey as they leave their home and life in Minnesota.
This is episode 10 of Tracks Cultures. This is a legacy podcast from Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, being re-released here as we build a focused channel for our conversations about transitions across cultures. The original episode was released on August 25th, 2021.
Well, Stephen and Jenny, this is an unusual podcast in that for the first time, this is the fourth series we've done together, but for the first time we're doing it in person.
Yeah.
And you guys are in Berlin.
Right.
Which is amazing.
Right.
And we have new equipment. So it's like trying everything at the same time.
Yep. And we were reminded today, I think we've been here 4 weeks and yeah, one of the people were like, oh my goodness, really? You've been here 4 weeks? They're like, yeah. They're like, oh, you're doing great. I'm like, are you sure?
It's such a perspective thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
From people who have been here before, like, oh, well, yeah, in a month, you're doing just amazing.
Like, wait a minute.
It's like, well, we showed up today, so.
So we've done three series together, beginning with the endings, and then talking a little bit about the neutral zone, or the transition zone, and then we've done a series talking about culture. Mm-hmm. And so what we want to do today is actually what you advise people to do in your book, and that is periodically on the journey, circle back and take a look back at some of the things that you've already talked about and now see how are they implementing or being lived out.
Yeah.
So if we do that, why don't we start with beginning with the endings and maybe just talk about what are some of the additional endings or the unanticipated endings that are part of this journey for you guys right now?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's such a time-based and location-based question, right? There were the endings that were happening that we were kind of aware of as they were happening as we got ready to leave. So the lasts, right? So the goodbyes and the, and then I think we mentioned when we were in that episode, even that there were lasts that had already happened that we hadn't realized. So there's
corona based, yeah.
Well, corona based, but even just like, yeah, where you just realize like, oh, like our schedules aren't going to line up and we're not going to see that person before we go. And so we've already had the last. So there were definitely some of those. And then there's a whole different set of endings that happen once you arrive, and those we kind of, I think we tried to anticipate ahead of time what those might be, but now we're definitely starting to experience those.
I think something that comes to mind is, you know, we anticipated being disoriented or having to learn a new place, and I think something that I didn't realize would be a part of that would be the disorientation. So like the ending of being able to like feel where in like location that I'm in. Like back in Minnesota, I could always be like, okay, I know if I go this way, I will get to that place. If I go that way, I will get to that place. And so I think like, even though you know, you don't know a city when you go into it for the first time, I think there's a sense of like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that I would be this disoriented. I didn't realize that I would be like, oh, which way is my apartment from where I am right now? Yeah, just the feel of disorientation and the lack of knowing where I am was stronger than I expected.
And then that has brought with it certain endings for you too, right? Like, at least temporary endings, like, you know, how much self-confidence you have to go out and do something on your own.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you a compass oriented person or a landmark oriented person?
Like a combination, not north, south, east, west, generally speaking, like I don't like, but it's like a combination of all of those things. Like landmarks are important. I mean, even I've caught myself learning streets faster because I feel like those potentially have the ability to stay the same longer. So, so that's something new that I'm experiencing. It's like, oh, what is this street called? And I think, I don't know if that's transit based, like, because I'm hearing these street names so often that I'm having to think about them more. So it's like a combination of landmarks and the feel of where my body is compared to like my anchor point, which is our apartment right now. That's where it feels like, where is my person in regards to that?
And street names are helpful in Berlin in particular, because a lot of the streets, you know, they're not all that long, right? So if you know the street, it's not just, you know, where is it in orientation, north, south, east, west. It's also a particular part of town. It seems like a useful strategy here.
Where it can get confusing is the long streets sometimes change names.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like Berliner Straße, yeah, that runs up towards you guys, mm-hmm, turns into Greifswalder Straße. Right. And so it can be, that can be disorienting, mm-hmm, too. Street names are supposed to stay the same, doggone it.
For a very long time, right? Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we maybe touched on it briefly before, but city design is really different here. Mm-hmm. And that lends itself to this disorientation in the city, because you think, well, blocks should be square and streets, mm-hmm, should be wide, and neither are true here when it's built more on that spider web pattern.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you find yourself in a place and you're not exactly sure what combination of turns, mm-hmm, led you there.
Yep.
Which
I felt that, like, wait, I think we've turned several times, but where did I start out at?
And none of those turns should have led me to where I feel like I am right now.
It's been weird, because the number of times I've found myself in the place that I wanted to be, and I think that I could tell you in terms of north, east, southwest, or, you know, ordinal directions, like how I got there. But then I look at a map and I would have told you wrong how I got there, but I felt the right way of being there. So that's definitely different. Like, I think another thing, an ending. So we knew that we wouldn't be driving when we got here, but I don't think I had realized, like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm very comfortable getting around on transit. But what I hadn't thought about is what it means to move furniture without driving. And what that has looked like is asking people who do drive, you know, to help us. And even that, you know, the end of some sense of independence or agency. Yeah, or just the awkwardness of hopping on transit with some piece of furniture or something, right? Like, there's just that. Yeah, I don't know. I think there are layers actually of endings related to that, that go deeper, even getting rid of trash, right? Like, we've had to make a couple of dump runs that you've helped us with, because we have all this cardboard from, you know, whatever furniture stores. And the idea that somehow I can't get rid of cardboard out of my apartment, you know, is just like bizarre. That never would have crossed my mind.
I think even along those lines of learning new things, it's like, you know, the city systems are going to be similar. But yeah, referencing trash and what do you do with things. But I think even part of that is like the noises that help you figure out what time of day it is, the things that are regular. So it's like, you know, those things will change, but it feels like, and you know that there's an ending to your normal pattern and you'll be starting a new one. But you feel like you start grabbing towards, okay, well, what are the normal sounds here? You have no idea, because trash doesn't feel like it is the same way. And I'm like, wait, why is that different?
Partly because there's so many different kinds of trash trucks, right?
Yeah. So it's like, even, the things that surprise you Yeah, between endings and beginnings of a new thing.
One of the endings and beginnings has been really strange for us is we don't really hear songbirds at all. And we do hear crows or magpies or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's both an ending and a beginning. But it's, yeah, I mean, part of how we would wake up in the morning, and I don't think I necessarily knew this, but it was just the birds would start singing, and we were close to a lot of birds where we lived before songbirds. And now we wake up because the sun is up very early. Oh, that was a weird ending. There was this at least temporary ending to privacy. I suppose it lasts longer because of, like, we've got this really nice patio area, but of course there's all these balconies looking in on it. You know, so we were out yesterday having a late breakfast, and you know, people are walking by talking with us, which feels very different than having a late breakfast in our backyard in Minnesota. But where was I going? Oh, yeah, when we got there, there were no curtains on our windows. And we've got these great tall windows that let in a lot of light on the back side of the apartment, which faces the courtyard, which
doors.
Faces...
They're like window doors.
Yeah, window doors. They're both. They open up, which is great. I really like them. But the first week, we had no curtains. And our bedroom is on that side of the house. And so we're like, how do we block this so we feel at all comfortable sleeping? So I slid a dresser over in front of it, you know, but like... Yeah, it's just funny things like that, that it's like, I wouldn't have known to anticipate that.
Right. Other endings that maybe you did anticipate, and I think, oh yeah, I know I won't be able to drive, but I didn't anticipate how that impacts other things is one great example of that. But were there other endings that you did anticipate, but maybe are hitting you differently than you expected them to?
I think I talked about the ending of having the time difference with communicating, like the change of access to family and friends back in the States. And I think, yeah, it's something that still sort of blows my mind that, like, right now as we're recording this, it's, you know, the middle of the afternoon and it's just the start of the day for family and friends that we want to communicate with. And so, yeah, just even though I knew that would happen, it still doesn't feel accurate. It's like, wow, even though we've practiced it and we've had conversations, the solution doesn't feel easy. You know, even, oh, well, I'll just talk in the afternoon and it's morning there. Well, life happens in the afternoon, so it's not like you just stop things to have a conversation with somebody 7 hours away, time-wise.
I think one of the ways that played out, so this last week was Jenny's birthday, and I think some of those endings in terms of access to friends and family, and even, yeah, just toward, I don't know, like, we're pretty low-key birthday celebrators in our family, at least for the two of us, and there's something about, I don't know, just kind of being home and being comfortable. And something you said this week really stood out to me was about how, like, your body hasn't found a way to be comfortable yet. And so the combination of not having access to friends and family and not having found a way to just be comfortable for your body to be at rest in the place that you're in, I think led to your birthday having... Not that your birthday ended, but, you know, like, I mean, I guess it did. We got to the midnight, but, you know, but there is this sense of, like, knowing how you like to be in your birthday wasn't available to you.
Yeah, it was like the things that you expected, that we expected that we would do things differently. And my birthday was good. I had a good birthday. But just the feeling of, like, what I normally enjoy or what I would normally do, it's like those days that it becomes very apparent, you're like, oh, if I was back at home, we would go to a specific place or we would have specific things. And again, not that, so we would go to our favorite coffee shop and, yeah, have the drink that I like there. And it's like, not that we can't go to a coffee place here, but it's not the same. And so you feel those changes, I think, even more, like, distinctly in the moments where, like, oh, this is important to me, and I didn't think about it being important to me because it was so normal. It was so habit related.
There was a brief time frame in my life where neither my parents nor my wife were around to disagree with my love of The Simpsons. And I don't know if you guys are Simpsons fans, but there was an episode where the couch, the family couch, broke, and Homer was just despondent because he had spent so many years getting a good butt groove worked into the sofa.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah. And so now he's like, now I've got to start all over again before the sofa is comfortable. And we don't even realize the life grooves we have until it changes so much. And it makes complete sense that you're like, my body is uncomfortable here. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sofa doesn't fit me yet. I still have to think about how to get to the bathroom when I wake up. Like, where are the light switches? Nothing fits quite yet.
Yeah, that is it. And it's like, you know how to go to the bathroom. You know how to turn those lights on, but they're not as thoughtless as...
Not as automatic.
As they once were. Yeah.
And that's a huge part of settling someplace. And that's why it's so exhausting when you move somewhere, because all of the stuff that was automatic before, everything requires thought. Everything.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, I mean, like when we moved to Minnesota, that was also true. But the level of things, which can no longer be automatic for now, you know.
But even when you move to Minnesota, it's still... And not to say that there aren't regional cultural differences in the U.S., because there absolutely are. But at least they speak English in the grocery stores.
And you know how to pay for things.
Yeah. Or you know when it's appropriate, for the most part, to smile at people. Or
to make eye contact.
Or what the lack of smile could possibly mean. Right. And now you have to translate all of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so we knew that you didn't necessarily, it wasn't a cultural thing to say hi to people as you were walking down the street. Like, we knew that. We had talked about it. But then to actually practice that was so hard.
Was it? Like, for me, it was great. I was like, I don't have to think about this.
No, whenever you walk down the street, for me, it's like, whenever you walk down the street, you're just looking around and you see someone, you're like, it was very automatic for me to smile and being like, oh, that might make them so uncomfortable. So it's been work to train myself to see and not see at the same time. Like, see people, but also not see them. That feels like a skill that is very challenging for me.
And to experience the disorientation from not being seen in the way you're used to as well.
Mm-hmm. I think another ending that I'm just starting to get a sense of is how I'm already finding myself detached. Not detached probably isn't the right word. I feel like there's a layer of inaccessibility in terms of understanding how people back home or processing events. So there's been this whole thing with Afghanistan, and I'm not yet into the new here. Like, I don't know how Germans are processing that. That's not accessible to me yet. But I also am finding I don't really know. I suppose I could get on Facebook, but I haven't wanted to. I don't feel part of that conversation. I had a nice talk with a friend yesterday and realized, like, oh, he is part of a whole complex conversation, whether he intends to be or not. It's just happening around him, and I'm not part of it. And so I'm very much already an outsider. Yeah. And I think that was quicker than I expected. And I think there will be ways that, the parts of that that are important to me, I can recover to some degree, but just the accessibility of it, that I have to make a choice to be part of that kind of conversation if I want to be, even just to listen.
And there's often almost an exponential nature to that, because you're not a part of the conversation in the US and you're not a part of it here either. And it seems like, well, isn't that just times two? But the way we feel that often is there's almost a compounding level of disconnect. I want to touch on one more thing, I think, as we kind of bring today's episode to a close. And one of those was one of the really big transitions you were anticipating was the level of involvement or connection with your kids in school. And they've started a new school. They've been there for just about, they finished two full weeks of school already. How is that?
It's how so weird. Is that? It is so weird.
Yeah, I guess that, yeah, that is definitely one where it's like we knew it would be different and we knew some of the things that to expect to be different.
But we still don't know when our kids get out of school.
Yeah.
2 weeks in, we don't know. And when we've tried to ask for clarification, like one of the answers that, because you called at one point, right?
Yeah, and it was very clear that the secretary was like, no, you should know this, or your student should know, where's their plan?
But the secretary didn't know the answer, right? So the secretary was like, well, the student has the day plan. And it's like, okay, great. What is it? Because we don't have it. We don't know. And I mean, that is so different. But
whether it was actually, I think the part that was disorienting was like, oh, is this what's happening right now? Is this the plan that's in, like, did it start?
And every day it's different. And the first week is different than all the other weeks. But the it's different by day. And even though all three kids are in the same school, their let out times are different. And so there's a lot to keep track of. And we only have the ability to communicate with one of them. And so,
like, directly in school. Yeah.
And so if one of, and when they get let out, they just get let out of the building to go wherever. And so if we don't happen to be there, we can hope that our kids would stay there and wait for us. But yeah, it's meant sometimes going and waiting for a half hour for one of the kids to be let out. But then, you know, we're already 5 minutes late for the first one who's been let out. You know, there's just kind of this, it's unlike anything. I didn't know that would be part of it. Yeah. And so the ending there's several layers of endings, but, one of the most striking is like, I don't know how to take care of my kids relative to the end of school. And I actually don't know when I'm going to know. I can't tell yet how long it's going to take us to figure out the pattern.
Well, and I think even for our kids, like, I think our oldest is catching on and she's understanding, she's picking up cues. So I think she knows. Our middle, I don't know for sure when he'll know. And our youngest, I don't know what to expect of him. You know, he's 8. So I'm like, what does that mean for him? Yeah. So I think it's like the different levels that they're also involved in it is, you know, it's like we're having to learn how much are they paying attention in this situation more than we would even in regular school. Because there's usually a level of like, yeah, our kids aren't going to get it, but they aren't going to pick up all the information, but we'll get it somehow. And we don't know what that way is yet.
And we're also realizing that our concerns are not shared by the parents of our students, of our kids' peers, right? Like their classmates' parents aren't worried about that because the kids are self-sufficient. They get out of school and they go home on their own and they're fine. And we don't know when our kids will be able to do that because they don't have the language yet. And yeah, and then the piece of not being able to figure out where they are is just disconcerting. And there's definitely, it's interesting. I'm just thinking about all the things that are like so taken for granted in American culture that maybe are not all healthy around what it means to take care of kids, like kind of an over supervision, right, that can happen. But this is like so very much the opposite in terms of at least the school let out process that I'm just like, wow. Yeah.
But then there's also the sense of like kids know how to get home and know how to take care of themselves. And that's also a normal function of society that we're not used to trust the kid and society, you know, general public that the child is safe and going to get or be safe. We've heard this is a thing, but how do we trust the system? Or how do we be a part of this society in that way? Or how do we help our kids trust society here in that way?
I think part of what's funny is we're talking about endings related to school, and we have not actually talked about school at all. Right? We're just talking about the let out process.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I think there are many, many that I'm sure we'll discover with school itself, but it kind of feels like a black hole right now to me. Like, I don't feel like I know anything.
And yeah, to be fair, 2 weeks in still. And yeah, so it's, and some of these things, there's no good way to prepare someone for, even if we would have said, man, it's really weird. And I think we may have, it's really strange the way when teachers aren't there, they just let the kids out or there's no class. But until you actually, your kid is actually experiencing that, it just sounds funny. And then it gets irritating. And then you realize I'm irritated at something that for other people culturally is not as much of an irritation or the let out process. And so this weird set of goodbyes, and a big chunk of it is, for me anyway, because it's always my hot button, is back to competency. I feel incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's super disorienting.
Well, and I think especially when it's related to your kids, because you want to feel competent and caring for your kids. And yeah, just the process of that, of us not being able to fully function in the way that we want to take care of them, it's wearing. I mean, you talk about the levels of tiredness that you go through by the end of the day, you're exhausted. It's like, that's one of the things that's exhausting, is just feeling like you're having to work really hard to do things that you took for granted.
Yeah, there's like an hour and a half of uncertainty every day, right in the middle of the afternoon.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I was so tired. We got back from waiting. We just were waiting for the bus because we could have taken a different route, but we didn't. I was like, well, is it worth walking home or going to check a tram? But it was really like an hour and a half. I'm like, I got home and I'm like, I'm so tired. I just have to go to nap. Because
the bus was like 30 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're exhausted. And you have to wrestle with the idea that I've done something meaningful, but I don't feel like I've accomplished a thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which adds to, I mean, you feel bad for being exhausted, but you're exhausted.
Yeah.
Well, hey guys, thanks. We're going to bring this episode to a close, and then we'll come back for listeners. For us, it'll be a 5-minute break and we'll come back and record again. But we'll hit the other two episodes in review. Thanks again so much for joining us today for today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. It could be, if this is your first time tuning in to our podcast, that you're thinking, they sure spent a lot of time complaining about things that didn't meet their expectations. And if that's the case, I would really encourage you to go back and listen to episodes 1, 2, and 3 of our podcast, because it will give you some perspective on why this is a theme and why we're revisiting this topic now. If you're listening and you've gone through cross-cultural experiences and experienced some of that disorientation that comes with your expectations not being met, and you would also like to share your story, you can do that in one of two places. You can write to us at podcast@envisionberlin.com, or you can go to our Discord server and join the conversation there. In either case, know that we'll read your messages and do our best to be in contact with you, and we love hearing from you.
Thank you for listening to Tracks Cultures and joining us as we talk about transitions across cultures. Our work at Envision Berlin is made possible by supporters who believe in our vision. Your monthly support ensures that we can continue our initiatives as we, Envision Berlin, look for the meeting place between faith, art, and culture, and how to have conversations both about and in that meeting place. By becoming a patron, you help us sustain our efforts and gain exclusive insights into the heart of our work. You'll receive updates, behind-the-scenes content, and a closer connection to the change you're helping to create. Visit patreon.com/envisionberlin to explore the different membership tiers and the special perks that come with each level. Every contribution brings us one step closer to our goals.
This podcast was produced by Envision Berlin in our studios located in Berlin, Germany. If you'd like to send us a note, feel free to send your email to podcast@envisionberlin.com. Thanks for listening.